Welcome to our Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We pray today's message will equip you to do the work God has called each of us to do in our area of ministry. I look forward to seeing you here at church soon. Enjoy today's word.
Buenos dias. ¿Cómo están? Good, good, good. I am so happy and excited to be here. And more than, you know, excited to be in a new place and meeting new people, it's just I love to be where God is. I want to move where He moves, and we're God chasers, you know, and we want to be, God has called us to be part of His kingdom, and so whatever it is, wherever he wants us to be, we will be there, because that's what we're all about. And today, I will be preaching on a sermon that I've titled, The Vision That Fuels the Mission. The Vision That Fuels the Mission. And I will be preaching from Daniel chapter 7, verses 15 through 22. Daniel chapter 7, verse 15 through 22. Now, what I want you to know that God wants to do as we read this portion of divine scripture, and as we read a little bit more about the chapter, this chapter is one of the most exciting chapters you could read in the Old Testament. Why? Because it is this chapter that connects us to understand who I am, to our divine I am, and to our divine I must. I'm going to say that again. As we read this scripture, I want you, as we open our Bibles, open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart, because you cannot read this chapter and not be connected and aware that there is a divine I am and a divine I must that will awaken us up to two things. One, to know that the gospel says it's like it is. The world doesn't revolve around us. As believers, it revolves around Christ. And so when I am in the kingdom, there used to be a selfish I am. Oh, I am this, I am that, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. But when you were born again, that doesn't exist anymore. Your old self is useless in the kingdom of God. That's why God did it and helped us to be born again. Now, in this new creation that we are, there is a I am and a I must, but it's a divine I am. Now I am what He says I am, and because of what I am, I must. And this is so key, because everything that we do in the kingdom of God and our families is connected to the I am. And that's why everything we do, it is not optional. It's I must do it. It's not that if I want to, it's not if I have the ability to, it's that I must. And that's what I want you to get from this. And I think this is just what our spirit should receive today. That we, everyone in this place, again, gets revived and awakened to your divine I am. And that's why I must. Amen. See, church, most believers agree that missions is important. But many struggle to understand why it truly matters beyond obligation or tradition. When missions becomes only a program, passion fades because we're not clear on our God-given mission. Church runs on a divine vision. This is not another program to make you into a better you. This is not a program and you're not a robot. And I go to church and I get into this little discipleship program and I get into men's ministry, women's ministry, and everything, you know, will change. No, the kingdom of God, it is not a program. It is a divine vision.
Yes, sir.
And because of the vision, that vision fuels the mission. So what we do can never be effective unless we truly are clear in what the vision is. If not, mission becomes programs. If not, church only becomes about activity after activity after activity. And we're not about activities. This is not how can we entertain you. What is the next high for these people? A concert? Let's bring the most famous speaker here, you know, and let's get these people awakened. No, if divine vision doesn't stir you to missions, then you're just being entertained. You're just looking for entertainment. But divine mission demands its believers to be equipped. So we're at church not to be entertained, but to be equipped. For what? Number one, to understand our divine I am. Because when you are clear on that, then you know and you're connected to your divine I must. So in every generation must decide whether it will live only for what it can see or for what God has already declared. Divine vision is God giving clarity and direction to his people about what he wants to accomplish through them. It is more than a goal or ambition. It is God's perspective on his mission. See, we live in a world filled with noise, fear, and instability, and uncertainty. Nations rise, systems shift, power changes hands, and the question quietly shapes our lives. Who is really in control? Daniel asked the same question, not from comfort, but from exile. He was not a missionary by travel, but he was a witness in a hostile culture surrounded by powerful empires and pressure to compromise. Daniel did not receive a strategy, a timeline, or an escape plan. God gave him a vision. God's vision begins with what God has revealed, not personal preference. So church is not about you. Sorry to put it that way. Sorry I came to Honduras to pop your bubble. That's my job. Remember, not a politician, I'm a pastor. I'm not here after your votes. I'm here to please one. God, so like it or not, here it comes. God's vision, it is kingdom-centered because it ultimately aim is God's glory and the expansion of his kingdom. So you'll hear names like Pastor Ashley, Pastor Shad, Pastor Peter, Catherine, but it's not about those names. It's about one name. It's him. We're all just working for him. And understand this. If you know it's a God vision because God's vision is compelling. If it doesn't generate urgency, sacrifice, and perseverance, you can be certain it is not a divine vision. If what you're receiving from God doesn't generate urgency in you, it doesn't stir your gifts, sacrifice, and perseverance, be certain there is no clarity in vision in your life. Today I want to talk about the divine vision behind the Great Commission. Why we do what we do. That is so key. And in Matthew 28, 18, you know, before God comes, Jesus comes and declares the Great Commission, he speaks about the great vision. In Daniel 7, God pulls the curtain of history. He lifts Daniel's eyes above the chaos of earth and anchors them in the certainty of heaven. In Daniel's vision, the divine hand is at work for those who have eyes to see and what the divine hand is at work doing. It is raising up kings. It is raising up kingdoms. But Yahweh is not only the creator of the natural world. He is the creator of history. So this vision that we read in Daniel chapter 7, this vision was not given to confuse him. It was given to strengthen him. And it still does the same for the church today. So let us read Daniel chapter 7, verse 15 and 20 up to verse 22. I'm reading from the ESV Bible. And it says, "As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever, and ever. Then I desire to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devour and broke in pieces and stamp what was left with its feet, and about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up, and before which three of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things, and that seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom." Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much because as we come as your people, we come to hear your voice. We know that you've given us your word to shepherd our souls, to shape our and renew our minds and transform our lives. And Lord, we want you to continue to shepherd us as we walk in this world and as we walk in your kingdom. Lord, we're aiming for one thing, and that is to give you glory with all we are, Lord. Lord, help us to not be half-hearted, but to be full-hearted, Lord, for your things, for your kingdom, Lord. Let us understand divine callings. Let us understand the divine I am and the divine I must, Lord, so that we may run in our journey of faith so that at the end of our lifetime, we experience the plentiful of your kingdom, but also that we lived for your glory. In your name we pray, amen and amen. See, this vision, it was given so God's people would live differently. That's why this vision, it is so key that every believer understands it. Because the unavoidable question for us, let me back up. A true vision from God never ends in information. It always demands transformation. That's why a true calling is discovered through obedience and not just what excites you. So the unavoidable question for us is this. If this vision in chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, if this vision is true, and it is true, how should our lives change? I want you to write that question. I want you to repeat it to yourself. If this vision is true, then how should our lives change? And as we read this text today, I want you to continue. We will understand this purpose through a divine vision. The purpose. Yeah. Back. There it is. All right. It says, through a divine vision, God reveals three realities that fuel the mission, realities that still compel the church today so that we may participate actively in his mission. Now, what are these three realities that we're going to talk today? The three realities that compels us and compels the church today so that we might participate in his mission are three. Number one, God reigns over the nations. Number two, Christ rules over all people. And number three, God's people will inherit the kingdom. And so these realities demand a response. Yeah. See, we're not here just to be confessional. No, I believe. You got to go from confessing faith to possess faith. Oh, wow. And possessing faith demands a response from you. If this vision is true, then this has to impact my life. And how is it impacting? So let's look at the first reality that this vision brings to us. God reigns over the nations. See, Daniel tells us that his spirit was troubled by what he saw. And this vision alarmed him. But notice what Daniel does next. He seeks understanding from God. He does not invent meaning. He receives it. And the vision that he saw gives us, and I'm not going to go deep on this, just to stir you up a little bit. But the vision, and of course he's alarmed. Imagine if you saw this. It would alarm me too. And so as we see this, he's seen four beasts that represents kings and kingdoms, and some of them, the first three of them, as we read the chapter 7, we see that they have power to do dangerous things, but they're limited to some things. But then there's a fourth beast, which he cannot describe, and he just says it is terrifying. It is alarming. There's nothing that he can relate the fourth beast, but he just says that it's nothing like the other three beasts. This fourth beast actually has more power than the other three beasts, and all these kings and all these kingdoms are the ones who are shaking the world. We are seeing the movements of this vision right now. We're seeing the movement of this vision as we see our nations shake, as we also have fear of who's controlling the world. Where are we going to end up? You know, what is the church to do? Well, number one, this vision, see, vision doesn't only, God doesn't only give us visions so that we can be, to calm our fears. He gives us vision so we can have faith in him. So this reminds us that truth is not discovered by human insight. It is revealed by divine authority. The angel explains plainly, the terrifying beasts represent earthly kings and kingdoms. They are powerful. They are violent. They persecute the saints. And for a time, they appear unstoppable. But verse 21 says they make war against God's people. But verse 22 changes everything. It says, until the Ancient of Days come. See, earthly kingdoms may roar, but they do not rule. And so that is part of this reality that Daniel has to understand about this divine vision. He sees how not the kingdom of God, but the kingdoms of this world rule and control and persecute God's people. But as you hear the kingdoms of this world roar, you and I have to remember they do not rule. God is not reacting to history. God is governing history. No government, no system, no power exists outside his control. These kingdoms are earthly in origin, temporary in authority, and limited in duration. That's why Psalm 22 verse 28 reminds us, "For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations." See, we cannot be, the church's mission cannot be paralyzed because of what government says. Because we know this, they can roar, but they do not rule. That's why church's mission is unstoppable. It can only be stopped if God says stop. And he didn't say stop. He said go. And he never said come back. That's a ongoing go. So if you're thinking, God, you want me to stop now? Nope. Go. The commandment has never changed from beginning of creation. It's been the same commandment to all who are in the kingdom of God. Go. And why is this mission unstoppable? Nobody can stop it. Why is it unstoppable? Because it's a divine vision. And divine visions cannot be stopped. It will work with you or without you. But it will be fulfilled. Now, do you want to be part of it? That's the question. See, if God truly reigns over the nations, if you know that as a fact, that's a reality. God is not waiting for your amen here. He's just saying, I rule.
Wow.
He ain't asking you, did you believe if I rule? Yeah. He's telling Daniel, hey, I just want you to check out who reigns over the nations.
Amen.
It's me. See, if God truly reigns over the nations, then fear can no longer be the lens through which we make decisions. When God's vision fuels our lives, then daily decisions align with eternal priorities. Fear produces passivity, but faith produces obedience. When we believe God reigns, we stop using fear as an excuse for disobedience. You know, I hear so many excuses of believers when they're called to missions. Oh, I don't know. You know, I can maybe if I what if I, what if I get sick? What if it's dangerous there? See, fear produces passivity.
Man.
But faith produces obedience. Fear of what? He reigns the nations.
Yes, that's right.
He reigns the nations. Yeah. Now, knowing this, does this change the way you're going to decide how you participate in the kingdom of God? See, we stop waiting for perfect conditions to serve, to give, to speak, or to go. We trust that God is already at work when he is sending us. He is sending people to go, not to settle. What fears have been shaping your decisions? What voices have been louder than God's throne in your life? This week, I want you to see your life, see the areas where fear has kept you silent or inactive, and take a step of obedience. Pray boldly, serve sacrificially, speak the gospel faithfully.
Yes.
See, it is one thing when we speak the name of Jesus in church.
Yeah.
I saw you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, it's like, I speak the name of Jesus. I speak the name of Jesus. Man, we looked awesome here. But the work is not in here. The work's outside.
Yes, sir.
See, missions, so that's why you have to remember this. Missions, when God reigns over nations, his vision stirs his people out of comfort and into kingdom action. So what's in your heart? Is there a divine vision? Do you have it clear that we are doing the mission because of the vision? And what does the vision reminds us? The vision reminds us that God reigns over the nations. So remember this. The reality number two that we see in Daniel chapter 7 is that Christ rules over all people. See, the vision fuels the mission because Christ rules over all people. Daniel then sees the theological center of the vision. And that's why the text says, and that's why after he sees all the beasts, all that they can do, this is what he sees. One like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. See, unlike the beast, the king is human, but also divine. The title son of man in Hebrew or in Aramaic, it literally means just human. But it became, with time, it became a title to, and that's why Jesus in the New Testament calls himself the son of man. And that's why every time you read the son of man in the New Testament, what he's pointing is to Daniel chapter 7. He is reminding his disciples that are looking at him and looking at his miracles, at his teaching. He is telling them, I'm not just another teacher. Yeah. This is not just another nice moral sermon so that you can feel good about yourself. He is saying, hey, we're on a divine, this is the divine commission, but that is being fueled by a divine vision. See, unlike the beast, this king is human, yet divine. He is given authority, glory, and sovereign power. His dominion is everlasting. His kingdom includes all people, all nation, all language. And this is not a symbolic optimism. This is a messianic prophecy. Jesus himself applies this passage to his identity. And he says, you will see, in Matthew 26, he says, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. So Daniel chapter 7 is fulfilled in Christ's incarnation, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation. Philippians chapter 2 declares that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Jesus is not only Savior, Jesus is a reigning King. If Jesus truly reigns, then my life can no longer revolve around my comfort. It must align with his kingdom. Now, know this, if Jesus is the reigning Son of Man, I must stop making life about me and start making it about his kingdom. Amen. Now, who rules your schedule? Who governs your priorities? Who directs your resources? If Christ reigns, then obedience is not optional. It is worship. That's great. Daniel saw that Jesus reigns over all people, over all nations, over all languages. That means my life is no longer about comfort. It's about commission. Yeah. Let me say it again. That means my life is no longer about comfort. It's about commission. So it's not just coming to church to say, God, how can you help my life be more comfortable?
Oh, man.
When God's vision fuels our lives, wow. Now listen to this,
yeah.
Comfort becomes secondary. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to swallow. Not because I had nothing to say. I give you time to swallow that. Comfort becomes secondary. Convenience is surrender. And obedience becomes non-negotiable. See, missions exist because Jesus reigns. And we do not go to make him king. We go because he already is
Absolutely.
King. The Great Commission demands our lives, not just our involvement. Too quiet. You're too quiet. Got lesser amens on that one. Started with a lot of amens. Say it again. The Great Commission demands our lives, not just our involvement. See? It is easier to give 10% of your tithe but it's so difficult to give 100% of your life to God. And some of you are comfortable with your 10%. Oh, here we go. It's my 10%, God. Huh? When really, God is not asking for your money, but your life. See, yeah, I know money becomes sometimes a battle, but it's so much easier to give money than give your heart to God. So much easier to come to church and clap to the ones who are going to missions and sit down and be bench warmers. God is calling us, and the Great Commission demands nothing less than our lives. Does God have all your life or just your 10%? Are you involved or are you fully engaged with the Great Commission? And the third reality that we see here is that God's people will inherit the kingdom. The vision here ends with a staggering promise. The kingdom is given to the saints of the Most High. See, Daniel also sees something honest and sobering. God's people suffer. The horn here in the last piece makes war against them and prevails for a time. Faithfulness does not remove opposition. Obedience can be costly. Many believers stop obeying not because they stop believing, but because obedience becomes expensive. Let me say it one more time, just in case my accent. What he said? Oh, I'm going to say it again. Many believers stop obeying not because they stop believing, but because obedience becomes expensive. See, and today we pastors have to be like cheerleaders. Come on, church, we can do it. One more mile. Give me an M. Yeah. You got your M. You got your M. Oh. Come on, where the men at? Come on, where the women at? Where the youth at? You know, it's because we're not coaches here, bro. We're pastors. Leading surrender people to the God who reigns over the nations, to the Christ who rules over all people, to people that we understand, that you understand, that there is a divine mission, and that's why we do what we got to do. So we don't, if I have to push you to go, brother, you're not getting it yet. You have a wrong view of what church is. See, people today are looking for the closest church to go to and not to the closest one to Scripture. We come to consume, not to contribute. It's what does God have for me? See, I see tears running down when we say miracle worker. Oh, man, I need one of those. And God is all about that. Don't get me wrong about that. See, church, yes, it does look like a hospital, but it's more like an army. Yeah, you got to get healed, but you got to get healed for a purpose. See, God, you're not here because God saved you just to get you out of hell. See, that's what some of you think the gospel is all about. No, saving people out of hell. And woof, that was close, right? I made it. God came through. Yeah, I'm here. I'm saved. I made it. You know? Bro, God took you. Not just, God saved you not just out of heaven, but God also saved you for a purpose. He didn't, so I'm going to put it this way. God did not just save you from, but he saved you for.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now that you're saved from, now you got to connect to your divine I am. And you got to put your boots on because there's a divine I must in all of us. Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not just here to look nice, to look religious. Mm-hmm. If you think church is just the service, you got it wrong. This is just 1% of all the Great Commission. Hmm? If you think it's all about God saving me just to come and sing through church, just to come and hear a sermon every Sunday, just to be at the door, no. Nah, there's much more than that. Suffering is not the final word for believers. Vindication is. The saints do not merely survive history. They inherit the kingdom. God's people are not spectators of victory. They are participants in it. And this reflects our union with Christ. We share in his victory. We share in his authority. But we also share in his mission. Yeah. There is no such thing as a passive saint. If I will inherit the kingdom, I must stop expectating and start participating. So am I watching others do the work of the kingdom or am I involved? Am I a consumer or a contributor? See, Daniel 7 tells us that God shares his kingdom with his saints. That means there's no such thing as a passive Christian. You may not cross oceans, but you are called to cross the street. God is calling believers to cross oceans, but also to cross the street. You may not preach, but you are called to witness. You may not lead, but you are called to serve. If you inherit the kingdom, you represent it now. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are ambassadors of Christ. So choose something to participate. Pray intentionally for missions. Give sacrificially. Serve faithfully in the church. Share the gospel personally. Passivity often sounds spiritual. Let me give some examples. I'm waiting on God. I haven't heard God say yes to go to missions, Pastor. Really? Matthew 28. Go. Oh, you want to hear God's voice? Matthew 28. Go and make disciples. So why are you in elevation classes every Sunday? Just for information? No, we are equipping you to go and make disciples. That's the Great Commission. This is the goal of all new believers. Go and make disciples. I got another one for you. I'm not ready yet. Oh, and you think the ones who are serving, they feel fully ready? I'm not ready yet, Pastor. Someone else will do it. In your mind, well, somebody else will show up. Somebody else will do it. But Daniel chapter 7 shows us a God who acts, a king who reigns, and a people who are called. The question is no longer, do I understand the vision? The real question is, will I live it in light of it? Church, if Daniel could remain faithful in exile because of the vision, then we can remain faithful in our homes, our workplaces, our cities, and our nations. This vision demands a response. Surrender your fear. This vision demands you to surrender your fear, to submit your priorities, and to step into obedience. Why? Because when we truly see the king on the throne, remaining passive is no longer an option.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And this is what I want you to remember. See, the gospel gives us a king. The king gives us a kingdom, and the kingdom gives us a mission. God did not give us this vision so we could sit still. He gave it so we could stand up and follow. So let this vision of God, of Christ, fuel your mission. Remember these three things. God reigns over all nations. Christ rules over all people. And God's people inherit his kingdom. So in conclusion, I want you to take this to your heart. When the church truly sees the throne, truly sees the king and its inheritance, the mission will never lack fuel. And when God's vision truly fuels our lives, then the Great Commission stops being a task we do and becomes the reason we live. I'm going to say it one more time. The Great Commission stops being a task we do and becomes the reason we live. Right. So the Great Commission is not just for some people, or not just for elite people or gifted people. It's for all of us. The goal is meant for every one of us that has been saved. So why do I come to church? Because of the vision. Why do I come to Elevation Class? Because of the vision. There's no other reason. It's not, do I feel like going to church? Fuel your emotions with the vision. I don't see my family being transformed, Pastor. Fuel your mind with the vision. I don't feel today serving. Fuel your heart with the vision. The church is not task oriented. This is our life. This is our lifestyle. This is not do one more thing in your Christianity. It's do the thing we were saved for. What are you fueling your faith with? We got weak believers because they're not fueling their mission with the vision. What did Jesus tell the disciples before telling them, go and make disciples? What did he say? He said, all authority and all power has been given unto me. What do those words echo? Daniel chapter 7. He was reminding them, this great vision hasn't stopped and hasn't changed. Yahweh rules over the nations. I rule over all people. You will inherit the kingdom. So, therefore, go. Their commission, their endurance, their perseverance, their suffering, it all was able because they fueled the mission with the vision. It's not because we got this. It's not, I can preach. It's, I will do it because of the vision. I will bring my family because of the vision. I will fight for my family. I will fight for my generations. I will fight for the lost. Why? Because of the vision. It is not for the sake of a church name. No, it's because of the vision. It is not Linaje Escogido. It is not Christian ministries. That's not the vision. The vision is our God reigns. Our Christ rules. We are part of his kingdom. And this vision is growing. And it's touching nations. And it's touching the lost. And it's touching the broken. But it can only be accomplished not by people seeking their emotions. Brother, if my obedience depended on my emotions, there would be no obedience to the Great Commission. There would be a great omission to it. But when I feel weak, when I fear, when I think this is all a joke, I remember the vision. I remember the vision. So you're here, and I love that this is almost like a hidden church, because it makes you to be intentional to come here. And I love it, because then you're not here by accident. You came to this place not by accident, because God is stirring your hearts. Brothers, and there you might be suffering. There might be a lot of lack of. There might be a lot of pain of. But sometimes glory doesn't look like what we think glory looks. Giving God glory looks like obedience in the middle of suffering. It is. I'm all in. My yes is still is on the table. So that when God says, it is time, He's got my yes. Does God have your yes today? Does He have your yes? Lord, before you speak, you got my yes. Before my trials, you got my yes. Before persecution, you got my yes. How can I say no to the one who paid it all? How can I say no to the one who did it all for me? See, I can't find a good no to say, God, this is it. I can't. I don't know how some people do it, but I can't. This is the thing. I started running this when I was 16. And when I preached my first sermon, everybody came like, oh, that was good, Peter. Oh, that was good. Oh, how is God going to use you? But there was this old man. And I just kept seeing him. And when everybody left me, he came up and said, fire that is in you today, that you may keep it till the last breath. Because this is the thing, you can start on fire, but you can end up in holy smoke. You start it roaring like a lion, and now you're singing like a mice. Brothers, this is not how we start, but how we're going to finish. So keep that fire and don't let it quench. Keep your obedience on fire. Keep the vision fueling your heart. Where this is our why, Chapman. This is our why. See, I can have many whys, but my whys can go so far. But I got a why that fuels my mission. So when others don't want to pray, we will pray. Why? Because the vision is fueling the mission. When others don't want to praise, we will praise. Why? Because the vision is fueling my mission. Others don't want to serve, but we will serve. Why? Because the vision is fueling the mission. And that's what we got to keep it. We got to keep the vision fueling the mission. Because there will be hard times. There will be disappointment. There will be things that will make you throw in the towel. See, that's why I had to burn that towel. That towel was giving me problems. Every time I saw the towel, I was like, I'm going to throw it in right now. Problem is, when I burned it, I was like, where's the towel? I burned it. I'm all in. So today, what is God telling us? There's a divine I am in your life. I am a child of God. I am God's servant. I am his soldier. And I must preach. I must pray. I must praise. I must get disciple. I must evangelize. I must go. I don't know if God's calling you to cross an ocean or to cross the street, but is your obedience there? Is your obedience there? Is the vision fueling your mission? That's the question today. And I want you to stand up today. And I want, if there is anyone, whether it be a young person, a child, a marriage, anyone who says, I need to fuel my mission again with God's vision. I want you to break through the crowds and put your yes to the Lord today. And say, Lord, I don't know still what you're calling me to or where, but this is my yes on the table. If you're calling me to cross the street or to cross the ocean, you got my yes.
I hope this message encouraged you, strengthened you, and hopefully even challenged you a little bit. And if it did, I want to encourage you to like it, share it, or even send it to somebody who you know needs to hear it. Help us get the message of Jesus out to as many people as possible. And to our Christian Ministries family, we're so thankful that you're with us today. Thank you for all you do here to advance His kingdom. And if you're not a part of Christian Ministries, but you want to know more about what God is doing here, you can go to our website, cmchurch.net. Or you can message us on social media and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Once again, thanks for joining us today and may the Lord bless you.